And now for our bonus round. It's the most stressful season of all. Name it, Dave, for 300 points.
What is winter?
Oh, come on.
Correct answer. What is tax season? Sorry, Dave. Whoa, who are you?
I'm April from TaxAct, where we help you file for less and get more.
More for less?
Yep, so you can turn tax season into maximum refund season.
Well, there it is, folks. Tax season's the winner after all.
Switch to TaxAct today and start for free.
See TaxAct.com for details.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we'll be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Alrighty, we are back. And that, folks, tonight, on those cities, the reason they said the beginning of the year is because they did not take into consideration they have to give a 28-day warning, or actually a 30-day warning, which would have been, which makes it to 1 week from tomorrow, the January 25th, will be the last day that will be on the radio in those areas, unless we get a miracle, unless we have someone with super deep pockets that the Lord should move to help us out, because we've done all we can to stay on those stations, and we really have to have help from the folks in those areas, in Tampa and Orlando and Denver and Portland and Little Rock and where else? Oh, I think that's it. Yeah. So anyhow, that's what we need to. We need to let you know it's up to you from here on out. We've done all we can do. Now, we have tonight is Pledge Week, day two of Pledge Week, and the lines are open. Back there, we have in the boiler room, we've got a new guy in there tonight, Frank. And boy, he's back there with Eric and Randy, and that's kind of scary being back there like that. I can see him through the window, make sure that they're getting along. No telling what they're liable to do. Now, in between them and us here, there's another studio, and in there at the helm, our producers tonight is Courageous Craig, and he's doing this with style. Now, you got to let you know, you see, folks, you don't know this, but Style is the name of the other fellow that's in there with Craig. And I'm keeping an eye on them, too. It's really something, boy, tonight. Now, you hear the cackling? You get a lot of cackling, but there's no eggs to be found in here. But there's a little banty hen. And her name is Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, get out of here. Go on, move. Get out. Get back. Get on those phones. There you go. She's stuttering and fluttering. She's going back there with those guys. She might not last long back there. Anyhow, way out there in Missouri.
I'm worried about the guys, not Lisa.
Yeah. You know, she's got a nickname called Glock Lisa. She carries in one of the three big bags she carries a Glock with her, but they're not allowed to bring it in here. And so
they don't allow concealed carry in the studio?
No, there's not allowed in here. And so
in my studio it's allowed.
Well, I think I saw in there with Courageous and Styles, I think they have some M16s. They look like they're ready to defend to the very death.
All right. Well, then we're okay.
I've trained them to throw their bodies in front of mine when it comes down to it. Anyhow, way out there, that guy you're hearing, that is the Parson, Joe Larson, out yonder in Missouri.
Good evening, that child of the kingdom, and forever I am.
You ready to roll tonight? We got so much to cover tonight, so much. So, and that's our job, to be the watchman on the wall, because Hosea 4:6 is my people are destroyed for lack of
knowledge.
And we're going to let them know. We're going to warn the wicked out there tonight. And so, the numbers are 888-677-9673. Nationwide, or if you've got the credit cards in that, 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Our first pledge for tonight is from North Carolina. It's for $1,000, and that's Miss Wendy Wilson, our little Wendy.
Wow.
What a sweetheart. All right, folks, again, we got to light up those lines. We got to light them up. We got to get it done. Joe, let's get into the Bible study tonight. And do you remember the title of the message?
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
All righty. Now, when we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, could you read verses 7 through 9?
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
So, Joe, let me ask you this. What happens with gold? When you take gold and you try it in the fire, how many times? Pardon?
You purify it. You get all the impurities out of it till it's almost 99.99%.
And how many times do you have to purify to get to that point?
I don't remember, but several.
It's seven times.
Seven
times
which
purified.
Which is the number of perfection, right?
Yep. Okay, so now let me ask you this. How does that apply to us and our faith? So when we are when we go through the fire, going through the fire means what?
Being purified.
Well, persecution. When
persecution. That's, but it's our form of being purified.
Right. Well, we call it, you know, it could be tribulation, you know, but the world doesn't like us, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. And so what happens with our faith, the more we're persecuted, the stronger our faith gets, isn't it?
Right. It's kind of like steel being tempered. The more it's tempered, the stronger it gets.
And so we know also that the seeds, the blood of the martyrs are the seeds of the church, aren't they?
Yes.
And so let me ask you this. What percentage of actual born-again Christians are going to have trials and temptations?
All of them.
100%, huh? Now, in the Old Testament, what did those in the Old Testament, what did they know about the plan of salvation?
They knew that there was a Savior coming, and if they had faith, that they would receive salvation when the Savior came.
Well, they were looking ahead to Calvary, weren't they?
Right.
And so here...
They had to live with the promise of his coming.
So
that's all they had.
But they really didn't understand you must be born again. They didn't.
Well, how could they? Christ hadn't been born, so there was no one to teach them. And the prophets really didn't say anything about being born again.
And so here they had, well, even in the early church, did it ever really have a conception of immortality?
Yes and no. They had an idea of heaven, you know, but or of afterlife, but past that, not really. It was kind of vague.
It was, yeah, because no one had ever experienced anything like that, huh?
No, or had any real knowledge of it or any preaching on it. Yeah.
Well, there was hints of that. Okay, we see in the Old Testament where David said, when he had lost his son, he said, I can't go to be with him. Or, no, he can't come to be with me, but I can go to be with him. So David had a bit of an understanding of the afterlife, didn't he?
Yes. That's why I said there were hints and signs of it, but not an explanation.
All right. Why don't we turn over to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, read verses 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay, so what is it, when we take a look at that, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. What do you think? Do you think that word flesh there is speaking of our physical bodies, or is that word there speaking of something other?
No, I was thinking that those that are born in the Spirit are the ones who there is no condemnation. So those who only walk after the, you know, after the, of their body, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh.
So he's talking about the power and the principle of sin is what he's talking about, isn't it?
Because the body sins. The physical body cannot help but sin.
Okay, so here now, he goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin, death and death. So for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And so here, when you look at that, now Paul, he kind of divides people there into two categories, those who let themselves be controlled by their sinful nature. What do we call that? We call that being what? Carnally minded, don't we?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, that's to have a mindset, and that's confirmed.
Of the world.
Yeah.
That's a mind of the world, a worldly mind, a worldly worldview.
Mindset that's really confirmed by that sin nature, isn't it?
Right.
And then he talks about those who follow after the Holy Spirit. Now, all of us would love to be in the, all of us would be in that first category, I should say, if Jesus hadn't offered us a way out, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would, all of us.
Okay,
so the only reason we have a way out is because Jesus went to the cross, paid our sin debt, and we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been cleansed of our sins. And we were clean enough to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in us to guide and direct us, and, well, which was also the down payment on everlasting life. We're sealed by the promise of God.
So let me read you verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, we talked about this, I think, last night about people wondering if their faith was strong enough to bring on their salvation. What's the problem with that?
They still have to repent and become born again, born of the Spirit. What this is simply saying is if you're not a born-again believer, you are not a child of God. You're not a child of the kingdom. You're not going to be in heaven. You won't be one of the raptured. You're not any of his. It kind of goes back to that verse 5, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, we are concerned with spiritual things because we're guided and directed by the Holy Spirit.
One day we had a big Christian patriot conference, and we had people from all over. Colonel Speed Wilson, we had Bo Greitz, just a number of well-known people, and then pastors also. And I spoke. I was one of the speakers. In fact, two or three times, for some reason, when they scheduled this, they sent me right between the most decorated soldier in America, Colonel H. Speed Wilson. He was the most highly decorated, and Bo Grice, the most highly decorated Green Beret. And they sent me right between the two of them. And but when we were finished speaking,
keep you in line.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they brought in both the Army and the Marine Corps. Yeah, but anyhow, afterwards, I was preaching from God's Word, the Bible, and here I gave the salvation message. So when I came down, there was a big stage and a platform, and when I came down off the stage there, and I was starting to walk over to my seat, I was surrounded by this bevy of these women. All older, and it seemed like they were all small women. But anyhow, they surrounded me, and their leader reminded me on, do you remember Beverly Hillbillies, Granny and the Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she reminded me kind of her. She comes up and says, where do you get off? Because I had mentioned the Crystal Cathedral.
In California.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because at that time, he would never use the Bible, and there was things going on there. And I was talking, I mentioned a number of apostate preachers, and
he was a hireling.
Absolutely. And so they come up, and they said, we've gone to that Crystal Cathedral. It's beautiful there. And so she says, and where do you get off this being born again? You have to be a born again. We're all Christians, but we're not born again. I says, then you're not Christians. Where do you get off? I said, have you ever heard of a guy named Jesus? Well, of course we have, okay?
Yeah.
Now, he's the one that was talking that you must be born again.
Yeah, he told Nicodemus, ye must be born again.
So I opened the Bible, took to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and I showed him. And they were looking at it, and they said, yeah, it's right here, just like he said. This was something brand new to them. Brand spanking new that they'd never heard.
Not very many Bible studies in that Crystal Cathedral, were there?
No, they were not born again, so they said they were Christians, but they weren't born again. Can you be a Christian without being born again?
Nope. Because Christian, you are taking on the name of your father. For God to become your spiritual father, ye must be born again to get to the kingdom of heaven.
So, I mean, did Jesus say you pretty much have to be born again, or almost always, or did he simply say you must be born again?
Ye must be born again. Very clear, very concise.
All right.
Jesus did not stutter or was never ambiguous.
Let's go over to 1 John chapter 1. And look at verses 5 through 10.
Okay. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Unless we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Okay, so when we talk about, let's go back. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Now, in that definition of light there, when he's referring to, it really means four or five things. It means that good, it means pure, it means true, it means holy, and also it means reliable. Those things are all part of the definition of that word there for light, okay? In other words, in God, there is no difference in the turning, is there? So
I'm sorry, no difference in the what?
Well, he's talking about, an example, do you ever paint, take a light bulb, take the lampshade off a light bulb, and you turn that light bulb on, and that light looks like it's consistent all the way around, right?
Right.
Okay, but you don't see any imperfections, do you?
No.
Okay, now, take that light and set it in the middle of a room. I found this out one day when I first got married years ago. I was painting this room at nighttime, and I had a lamp in the middle with a bright light with no shade. And I noticed something, that up on the walls there was shadows, and that's what Scripture said, there was no shadow of turning. And so I looked upon that, and I saw these shadows. And when I took that, I moved the lamp, that you could see the shadows would move too. So all the imperfections in that light bulb were there. It just wasn't present to the naked eye looking at it, okay? With God, there's no shadow of turning. There's no imperfection. That's what it's referring to. in him, he is pure light with no imperfection. And so here...
And that's interesting, because this was written long before we had light bulbs.
Yeah. but
they didn't even under, they could barely sun. They knew sunlight, you know, moonlight, but they had no conception of what light was back then.
God did.
But they knew that God did.
Yeah.
He said Jesus being the light of the world, he was the truth that brought everything to view in the world, could not be hidden.
That's right.
Truth could not be hidden from him.
So if light means good and pure and true and holy and reliable, then what does darkness mean? Darkness represents what?
Evil, wickedness, sin.
Sin, absolutely. So now here, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say that we have no sin, the Word of Faith movement says that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Okay, so if it's not necessary for you to repent, that means you don't have any sin to repent of. How many people... Yeah. That ever existed, would that apply to, that had no sin to repent of?
It would only be Christ.
He was the only one, huh?
The only one, right. I mean, it's quite clear. If we confess, and Jesus, the first word in his ministry that he spoke was repent. You know, the idea, John, the repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is here and now. And to join the kingdom, you must repent. And repent means a turnabout from what you're doing and going the opposite direction, going toward God. and I must acknowledge the fact that you were going the wrong way. That's repentance. You were going in the wrong direction, doing the wrong things, and you make a about face and go the right direction and doing the right things.
So, if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
You might as well just say, God, you lie, which he cannot do.
We'll be right back after this.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John. All righty, we're back. Big Baptist John. You know what? I wrote that song. I did. And you didn't expect much out of me, did you, Joe? But that was a good one. All right. Yeah.
You did surprise me on that. Yes, I'll say you did.
Yeah. I got a call from Danny Ray today, and he's got a brand new song.
Great. How is Danny Ray doing?
Oh, he's hanging in there. He's doing all right. But anyhow, he's got a brand new song. He says... And that he recorded, and he said, Pastor, you've got to record this song too, because this song is you. But anyhow, before we go on, we have a prayer request. Bob out in Staten Island, he's saved. He knows the Lord, but his lungs are filled with water. And he's asking for a prayer for a healing. So, Joe, would you pray for Bob in Staten Island?
I'd love to. And I want everybody out there to pray with me, because if you haven't, you will have need of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you heard the request come in, that you knew it was coming before it ever happened. And we would just ask you to hold up John, that you would just bless him, pour out your healing power upon him, and just in any way you see fit, grant him that special blessing and gift that he needs the most. You know his needs, you know his problems, you know everything. And we would just ask that you have mercy upon him and restore him and allow him to be a witness to your power and healing and glory. And we ask if it be thy will, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joe. Bring Carol up. All right, we have Carol Byler here with us, and she is going to tell us about what's coming up this Friday, folks. It's your opportunity. Listen, you can take your country back. You're empowered. The Bible says one can chase 1,000 and 2 10,000. Believe me, for 50 years, I've been fighting every single day. And if I can do it and Joe can do it, you can do it. So, Carol, tell her about what we have to do coming here with NOWACA, a sinister, sinister organization that's out to take our freedom and our property. Tell the folks what's happening Friday.
So Friday, there's a group of us, concerned citizens, and we've arranged for a bus to transport us to the downtown headquarters at 1299 Superior Avenue. It's the headquarters of the NOACA board meeting this Friday. And we need to show up. We need to show up with a lot of people. We need to push them back, and we need to show them that we're serious, that we don't want that agenda in our communities. Okay, you say, what can you do? Well, here's your opportunity to do something. Come on the bus with us, and let's go down and let's show us. We're going to have signs made. We're going to have petitions signed. And we need to just push them back and show them that we're serious, that we're not bending to their agenda, and we don't want it. We don't want it in our community whatsoever. So the bus leaves at 7:45 on the corner of Mayfield Road and Route 91. It's at the Eastgate Shopping Center, and it's right next to the Aldi's store in the shopping center there. It's $15 per person to come on the bus. You can call me if you have any questions at 440-544-1001. But we're looking for a big turnout. The bus holds 50 people. We need to fill that bus, and we need to fill that room and show them that we're serious, that we're not just talking the talk. We're walking the walk, and we're going to show up and tell them, no, 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 we don't want you.
Okay, you know, back in November, we had the rigged election. I mean, it was rigged. And everybody's saying, where was the red wave? We didn't see no red wave, but we knew what was going to happen because weeks and weeks before that, Bill Gates came out and he said, here's what's going to happen. It's going to break even. And he knew it, and he had that smirk because the fix was in. I mean, I can't believe how, you know, that people don't see how much election fraud. But now they said there was no red wave, but there was a red wave.
Yes, there was.
They just didn't see what it was. It was that red wave went out to school boards. People, parents across the country were awakened to what was happening in the school system. And some of these very, very corrupt school board superintendents were voted out. Now, this NOACA people, they're the same elk. They're the same elk.
Yep.
They're sinister who bureaucrats and lobbyists who work undercover, like they're like bottom feeders. They're like parasites. They feed off the sweat and the blood of hardworking Americans, and we can stop them. That's what NOACA wants. NOACA wants, you folks out there listening to me, you better understand what we're telling you. They want your property, and they want to control you, and they want to tell you where you can go, where you can live, how you can live, and with what you can live. And not only that, but they want to tell you who can live. Believe me, I know. And so this is why it's so important, Carol, that people stand up and
get
fight.
Involved. They got to get involved. They have to. They can't just sit back and think it's going to happen. You know, snap their fingers and wave a magic wand like it's going to go away. It's not going away. They're coming harder, and we got to push back harder. We can't allow them to do that.
That's right, and we have been pushing back. I've been pushing back about this. We were exposing those people, the Agenda 21 people, back in the 80s. We were exposing them And we did, you know, we put a pushback on a lot of that. But, folks, now it's closer than ever. It's now or never for you. You think about it, you know, because I'm going to tell you, you'll wake up one morning and you're going to find the EPA out telling you that you're going to have to find a new place to live because your property now is going to be sent over to the park. And by the way, they're totally lawless. You know, their jurisdiction goes only to park, to roads and bridges, and even the racist roads and bridges out there. But
right.
Their jurisdiction does not go to the weather. It does not go to the weather. It does not go to the environment. It does not go to Lake Erie. It does not go to my yard, okay? But these sinister bureaucrats, they, the control freaks, they want to control every aspect of our life, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And
I,
so,
live in Hamden, okay? And me and another lady went to our local meeting, zoning meeting, to tell them about NOAACA. They had no idea about it. And they kept telling us, it can't happen, it can't happen. I said, yes, it can happen. And we actually sent them the website on NOAACA. We sent them, there was a meeting going on, we sent them that information. I think there was only one gentleman who even got involved. And he still don't believe it. He still don't believe it's going to happen. So they put their head in the sand and they think, you know, the government can't do it. Yes, they will. If we don't push back, they're going to do it. They're going to come in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So give it one more time. Give everything one more time.
Okay. So the meeting, the bus is going to leave at 7:45 on the corner of 91 and Mayfield Road. That's the shopping center there, right by Aldi's. It's $15 to ride the bus. We're going to go down. We have to be there by 9. We're going to be back probably about 12. We'll come back. And you can go downtown yourself, but the parking's really hard. It's very hard to find a parking spot down there. That's where we're asking everybody to ride the bus. But if you do want to take your car, it's at 1299 Superior Avenue. And if you have any other questions, 440-544-1001 is my phone number. So please, please pass the word around. Tell people that they ask, how can we get involved? What can we do? Here's their opportunity to get involved.
All right. Very, very good. And you know what's going to happen Saturday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry? Saturday from 1 to 5, we're going to have a matinee, Saturday matinee. And, you know, Hosea 4:6 is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, we're going to have some very informative films there, like The Enemy Within, that takes a look at not just government, but within the church, too. These people that you're talking about, it's going to take a close look. Also, what really happened on January 6, 2021, what really happened there. And also, now there's a real inspirational video, Daniel. And this is a faith builder. This is one that encourages your faith. So we're gonna and others. We're gonna have other films now. Also, we have thousands and thousands. We're gonna open up our archives, and folks, like those, the information you get in our newsletter. And by the way, if you don't get our newsletter, you're really missing one. It's free. It don't cost you anything. You need to get that newsletter. And you just write what's right, what's left, or people go up and they go on our website, wrwl.org, and you can go ahead and email us, and we'll put you on the newsletter list. It's free, and you really need to be informed. And anyhow, we have thousands and thousands in there. You can go through the archives, and you can take these. We do ask for a donation if you can. It's not necessarily, but it would sure help us, a donation. That's this Saturday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church from 1 to 5. So there you go.
There you go.
So we are.
Can I add something? Please
sure.
Show up. They tried this kind of thing in Missouri, in the county I lived in back in the early 90s, and the ranchers showed up in droves. They were angry. They made it known they were angry. They made it clear they weren't going to tolerate this kind of stuff, and it wasn't going to happen here. And they were intimidating enough that the committee that, like Nowaka, the basic people that formed the committee, all the committee disbanded and they left. And if you show up with enough force, enough people, a lot can be done. What happens is often the people, just a few people, show up to protest or be there, and the left takes that as a sign of weakness. But if they come and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people showing up, they get scared and they back down. And that's the trouble. Yep. The people of this country have not gotten angry, have not used their righteous anger, and go to these en masse, stand up for their communities, whether it's on a county level, city level, whatever. And the enemy can spot weakness miles away. And if you want to lose, be weak. If you want to win, you have to show up en masse.
We've run out of time. We're running out of time. 888-281-1110. The phone lines, the pledge lines are open, folks. We got to hear from you. Or 888-677-9673. Bill in Ohio pledges 300. Mike and Betty in Oregon pledge 60. Joseph in New York pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we need to hear from you. We're going to play a clip now. Carol, listen to this clip. It's very important because this is part of a major problem in our society today, something that we've been fighting in this ministry for 50 years. Go ahead, Style.
I have some disturbing stats I want to share with you about fatherless homes. And by the way, some of the stats, you know, I've seen this before. I'm going to tell you, when you read some of these stats, you're going to sit there and say, that is insane. By the way, these stats are from 2021 of the impact a father makes in a child's upbringing, both a girl and a boy. Like I said, disturbing, but you will be shell-shocked with the stats. If you get value from the video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Let me get right into it. The U.S. has the highest rate of children living in a single-parent household of any nation in the world. About 80% of single-parent homes are led by single mothers, at a rate of 23% of children living with one parent and no other adult. The United States stands over three times the world average of 7% of children raised by one parent. For reference, the number stands at 3% in China, 4% in India. This is not an area we want to be competing with other countries, by the way. If there is a statistic to not be competing in, this is one of the statistics. China's at 3, India's at 4, the world's at 7. We're at 23% in America. Zero bragging rights. This is the stat everybody wants to hide. And this is the stats where the side effects of this, we ain't going to see for 2 decades or 3 decades or longer. Takes a while to see the side effects. Let me continue. Even for children with a father present in the home, the average school-age boy only spends about 30 minutes per week with one-on-one conversations with his father. For comparison, the same boy, on average, will spend about 44 hours a week watching television, playing video games, and surfing the internet. In our house, there is no video games throughout the week. It's on the weekends. After you read 150 pages throughout the week, then you have the right to play video games for an hour or two on the weekend, and that's what you have to earn. You have to move your body. You have to exercise. There's certain things you need to do to get to that point. That's our household, but the stat tells you 44 hours a week of watching TV, playing video games, and surfing the internet. Let me continue. 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 63% of teen suicides, 85% of children and teens with behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. Let me read that stat to you one more time. 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 63% of all teen suicide, 85% of children and teen with behavioral disorder come from fatherless homes. That is a very, very big number. Next, fatherlessness likewise has a direct link to teen pregnancy and sexual activity. Roughly 70% of teenage pregnancies come from women raised in a fatherless home. 70% of teenage pregnancies comes from fatherless homes. 70%. That's a big number. And these same women have significantly higher abortion rates than women raised by both a father and a mother. On the whole, fatherless kids are 20 times more likely to be incarcerated and 11 times more likely to exhibit violent behavior than children from two-parent household. 20 times more, okay? 20 times more. If a man and a wife raise a child, they're less likely to end up in jail, but they have the same chances as children raised by just their father. You may already be blown away by the stats before, so maybe come back and let me read this to you and brace for impact if you missed it. Let me read it one more time. Listen, just stay with me. Don't get distracted. Stay with me. Listen, if a man and a wife raise a child, they're less likely to end up in jail, but they have the same chance as children raised by just their fathers. The husband and wife raise their kid. The chance of this kid going to jail is the same as just the father raising his kids. The problem is the single mother without a father in the picture that can sit there and discipline the kids, give them hope, values, principles, all the other stuff. We play different roles. This is statistic. If somebody's watching and saying, oh my God, you're discounting women, you're discounting mothers, go get upset at the stats, not at me. This is stats. You can't get upset at 3 times 3 is 9. That's stats. I'm giving you stats that's being given to us by the government because they have access to these stats. This is disturbing. Let me continue. Girls with no fathers have lower self-esteem. We can lower crime, lower mental issues, help the economy, lower suicide rates, and decrease homelessness by bringing back the family nucleus. There are things that my wife can do as a mother that I can't do. There's things she can bring that I can't bring. But there are things I can do that she can't do. So now you may say, well, Pat, I agree. I do agree. We can lower this. But then how come it's not happening? And here's the other question. Who's to blame? Who do we blame with this? Now, you may be listening to this saying, well, it's got to be the husband and wife's fault. It's got to be the man and the woman's fault. Fine. How come it's not the same ratios around the world? Why is U.S. fatherlessness at 23%? Everywhere else is 7% average. So is it really the mom and dad? So how about the mom and dad in India? How about the mom and dad in China? How about the mom and dad in Germany? How about the mom and dad in Brazil? How about the mom and dad in other places? Why are we at 23%? How did this happen? Was it like this before? Is it an evolution? Is it mainstream media? Is it Hollywood? Is it the fact that parents are afraid of parenting because everybody is so much involved? You can't do that to your kid. You can't do this to your kid. You can't discipline your kid like that. Whose fault is it? It's someone's fault. Is it the fact that, hey, you know, we can't really bring church and schools and pray and all this stuff? I don't know. Maybe that's not something you agree with. Maybe it is. Maybe we need those values and principles. But it's somebody's fault in America that this is happening. This is purely a systemic issue that we're having. This cannot be like in, it's really the community, it's the parents, it's the culture, it's all this other stuff. No, standards are standards. We're sitting there not educating. Oh, it's not a big deal. Go ahead and do that. Oh, it's not a big deal. Go ahead and do that. Oh, it's not a big deal. Go ahead and do that. No. Standards have dropped, and the numbers are showing. If we judged a country based on how many kids are being raised by fatherless homes that's producing crimes at the levels that we're getting, sex during teenage pregnancy, abortion, suicide, incarceration, maybe we ought to look at this. Maybe this is very important. Maybe our educational system sucks. Maybe. Kids spend more time around teachers than they do around their parents. Maybe. Who do we blame? The responsibility has to lie on the nation. Maybe we're either too much involved or we're not selling. Take your time to get married. Take your time before you have sex with someone. Take your time before you get pregnant. Take your time before you have a baby. Protect yourself, stay home, do not just go out there and have unprotected sex. Maybe we're not talking about this kind of stuff. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. The stat says we're not selling it in the right way, and we're paying a price for it. If you're in a community that crime is high, hello, you're feeling it. That's the stats. So the next time you see a father that takes their job as a father seriously, you can actually say, you know how we see somebody in military uniform? Guess what you say? Hey, thank you for your service. What do you mean? Hey, man, stats, 23% fatherlessness, and you're there with your kids. Thank you for your service. Being a father is tough. Good for you guys, husband and wife, trying to make this work. Marriage is tough. Salute. You make my life better and safer by raising good kids. Salute to you.
All righty. You know what, Joe? You know, we've had a prison ministry for 50 years. And
wow.
For 45 of those 50 years,
yeah.
I traveled to the prisons on a regular basis. And, well, Carol, you know that. And so.
Yes, I do. You took my sons.
Yep.
You blessed me by taking my sons to see their father.
And
you know.
Absolutely. And now here's one of the things that, several things that all of those inmates had in common. One was they came from without a father in the house. The vast majority of them did not have a father. That was, and now here I would have thought that having a single, being brought up with a single mother, it would have brought them closer to the mothers, but it didn't work that way.
No.
A lot of these guys, these young guys, had anger towards their mothers. And here, you know, the reason, too, we find out what this guy said. The fathers are not nearly, the mothers are much more liberal than the fathers. They're much more, easily impressed by and confused by society today. They'll go along with what was society. In fact, did you know in the last couple of years, the number one graduation gift that mothers were giving their daughters for graduation from high school, do you know what it was?
Uh-huh.
Breast enlargements.
Oh my gosh.
Now why would these girls see? They didn't even know what those breasts were for. They were supposed to be for nursing babies, not silicone containers.
Right. Now they got them hanging, their boobs hanging out everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what the problem. The men were much more conservative and logical.
Yeah.
The mothers gave in. They gave in too much. And this is what the problem was. But.
Well, Pastor, we know that from teaching Bible study for a lot of years, what was woman's greatest weakness going back to Adam and Eve?
Discernment.
Discernment.
Yep.
And that's the big problem with the single mother is discernment, and they don't have the discipline. They're usually not strong enough to be a strong disciplinarian.
And you wouldn't believe how some of the, when we preach on that message, right from 1 Timothy chapter 6, how much time do I have here? Okay. It hits a nerve with a lot of these women nowadays. They don't want to hear that about that. In fact, I've had several of them tell me, you know, you're right. In most cases, you're right. It's women are attacked, but I'm not one of those. I've got discernment and they all seem to think that they're the ones with the discernment. But anyhow, and we'll ask Carol. Carol, what is the number one area where men are attacked?
Oh, sex. It's pornography.
Pride. Pride. But
pride.
Pornography.
Right. But they're attacked with that because of the way the women dress. The women dress so. So, you know, there's no modesty anymore. Everything just hangs out. You know, it's like there's none whatsoever. And unfortunately, our daughters and our grandchildren are growing up around that, and they think it's okay to dress like that. And when you try to correct them, oh, my gosh, Grandma, you're old-fashioned. You don't know.
You hear that. Hang in there, Carol. Hang in here till we're going to bring you in the other part of the hour. Hold it. We'll be right back after this. We're up against the heartbreak.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Amen. Let's come again. Come on.
WHKW W245CY Cleveland, encouraging you to head back to church this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group.